Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hey, warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I'm so glad you joined me today. We have got a great hour planned coming up. Justin Holcomb is already on our studio line. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. He is an author and has written a very interesting book called Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault. And it's been quite a week as we have been watching the news and seeing what's been going on with the Brett Kavanaugh hearing and the discussions of sexual assault. And it seems like it's such an incredibly difficult and sensitive subject to talk about. And when you bring it up in any way, shape, or form, you do run the risk of coming across insensitive or, and I always pray with great, I pray fervently before I start any discussion about this, that the Holy Spirit will be in the middle of it, because there are so many people who are wounded out there who have suffered some kind of assault, and maybe they were never listened to. Maybe they're still dealing with it. Maybe the pain is so raw still, and they're believers, and they're still living in some torture or discomfort, or they've got something going on that hasn't been resolved, and maybe it'll never be resolved. So it's a very big, sensitive issue, and I don't know how to deal with it sometimes because I'm just one guy. I'm just me. So sometimes I got to bring in the experts, and I've got one. Justin Holcomb is on our studio lines. We'll take a little break and bring him on.
Have you ever wished you could listen to your favorite radio program when you wanted to? That way, you'd never miss a program you really wanted to hear, simply because your program came on when you had an appointment, you were at work, or something urgent came up. And for those really busy days, you could listen early in the morning or late at night when things were calmer, and you could take the time to reflect and meditate on what you heard. Well, you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want. Download the Faith Radio app by searching Faith Radio in the Apple Store or Google Play Store to gain instant access to Faith Radio programs and previous shows. It really is that simple. Search and subscribe to your favorite program and listen anytime. Download the Faith Radio app today and don't miss a thing. Once again, go to iTunes or Google Play on your mobile device and search for Faith Radio to download the free Faith Radio app and start listening today.
It's 7 minutes after the hour. Justin Holcomb is an Episcopal priest serving as the canon for vocations in the Diocese of Central Florida, and he teaches theology and apologetics at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary and Reformed Theological Seminary. He is holds two master's degrees and also a PhD from Emory University. And Justin and his wife, Lindsay, have written co-authored four books on abuse, and he's with me today. Hello, Justin. How are you?
Hello. Doing very well. Thank you for having me, especially to talk about such a dark subject that needs so much light on it.
I know. So speaking of light, let me just start with a little. You've got two master's degrees and a PhD. How much school debt do you have?
None.
Okay, fantastic.
I worked all through the seminary, and my parents were helpful, and so none.
Yeah. Well, I have to say it's been a difficult week here at Faith Radio, because we've done our best to talk a little bit about the news, but every time I talk about it, it's such a sensitive issue that I know there's so many hurting people. So you're going to need to help me today.
Well, I'll do the best I can, and just so everyone, when they're hearing me, knows, not only is it a difficult issue like you described, but when you lay on top of it the political dimensions to this, of the Supreme Court and the significance of that with red and blue states, that intensifies the discussion, and it raises suspicion across the board. So just so everyone knows, I'm a registered independent. I'm a pastor, and I'm a Christian first, and then my politics is after that. But so when they hear me, I want to make sure they know I'm not trying to leverage the political side on any of this. This is all for those that have suffered and need to hear how the good news of Jesus applies to their suffering of abuse.
Love it. So let's talk about just the scope of this problem. It's just huge, isn't it?
It's enormous. Yeah. It's epidemic. I mean, just the conservative statistics say 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men are or will be victims of sexual assault in their lifetime. So that means 1 out of 5. I mean, if you're looking at a church, divide by 5. Wow. If you have 200 people there, 40 of them are likely have or will be victims of abuse. And if that's not enough, I mean, if it's not you who has suffered in this way, someone you know, a parent, a child, a friend, or a sibling. I'm one of those. I had a family member when I was 11 sexually abuse me, and a distant family member, not a close family. I'm going to make sure when we have friends who know me all across the country. I want to make sure that wasn't my parents, wasn't my uncle or my grandfather or anything like that, but it was a distant family member. So I'm one of those people, and so it is enormous, and not just the scope of it, but the effects of it. It creates so much shame and silence. It's one of the least reported crimes because there's so much shame involved, and that just speaks to how powerful and devastating that kind of sin and crime is to someone.
Mm-hmm. So, Justin, would it be safe to say that you were drawn into this area of ministry just based on some of your own personal experiences?
Yeah, there's really 3 things that drew me into it. One is the personal, of just having suffered as an 11-year-old boy and all the questions up. I mean, you're starting puberty and you have this happen too, and it's really confusing and a whole bunch of shame. Uh-huh. So one's personal. The second is pastoral. I've been in ministry since I was a youth minister at 18.
Oh, we just lost him.
Just seeing
you back. Okay.
Just seeing how painful it is, and how the pastoral care and the gospel needs to be applied to this, but also professionally. My wife, when we were dating, and now that we're married for 11 years, she was a case manager at a sexual assault crisis center.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that I researched and worked in as a field that she researched and worked in, and she was on the ground. She was the person going to the hospital with the victims and helping them after abuse. So personally, pastorally, and professionally are the 3 things that have drawn me to this.
Mm-hmm. I would be guessing, Justin, that if the enemy had a playbook that you would open up to this chapter, it would say, what I want to do is get somebody injured at as young an age as possible, and then make sure they keep it secret.
You've nailed it. You have nailed it. I say about sexual assault that it is one of the most effective weapons of the enemy. That, and if you think through Genesis, what are we called to do? We're called to multiply and have dominion. And part of our call as the images of God is marital union. And what is marital union but a picture of peace and shalom and the way it's supposed to be? And so Satan enters the world with sin. And one of the first things that takes place when sin enters the world is violence and exploitation of one another. And if the enemy hates God, and we're the images of God, so to get to God and his hatred for God, he comes after God's images. And because sexuality is significant to who we are, it's not the core of who we are, it's not the core of our identity, but because it's so significant to who we are and our emotions and experience, if you can harm someone at that type of intimate level, it influences their identity. It influences how they think about themselves, how they think about God, how they think about the world. And it is very influential, and it harms people on a spiritual, psychological, social, physical level. It harms people at every single level. So it is an effective weapon that the enemy uses to devastate God's images.
Mm-hmm. Justin, why is shame such a devastating part of this particular sin? I mean, victims feel guilty. Why is that?
Yep. So victims have been sinned against and they've had a crime done against them. So sin and a crime. And so they're well within the right to say, I'm innocent. This has been done to me. Well, there's a few reasons that, shame is so prevalent. And shame is the, I think it's the number one effect from sexual abuse. And it's powerful what the gospel has to say about shame. But the reason shame is so powerful is because it causes silence. That's one thing it does. You don't want to speak up because the very utterance of what happened to you, even though you didn't do anything, it feels so intimate and you feel filthy. You feel dirty and defiled. The language the Bible uses for those that have been sinned against this way is that they feel defiled. You're not defiled because of what happened to you, but you feel defiled and feeling like you're damaged goods. You feel broken. And because of that, it causes silence. You don't want to disclose what happened to you because you also in our culture, in American culture, we are quick to victim blame. So we don't like it when people tell us that the world's not happy and joyful and wonderful all the time because it messes with our illusion of control and safety. So it invades our vision of the world. We want it to be happy and nice, and all these dark stories scare us. It causes silence because we feel like we're filthy, dirty, and we should be ashamed of ourselves when we shouldn't be.
You are just being very healing today. I could say this is just perfect timing, Justin, that you're a guest today because, again, you're speaking so in such a comforting way. I want to take a very short break, but when I come back, I want to continue asking you about your book, Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault. Justin Holcomb is my guest, JustinHolcomb.com, if you want to learn more about him. We'll take a short break and be back with Justin in just a minute. Welcome back. Justin Holcomb is my guest, and I would call it perfect timing after such a busy and stressful week in the news. Justin's written, co-authored 4 books on abuse, and he is with me on our studio line right now. Justin, as you know, right now we're looking out and seeing what's going on in terms of sexual abuse. You've got the Me Too movement, and women are speaking up. What do you think about all this? What's happening, and is this a good positive move in the right direction?
Well, I like the fact that people are having the courage and bravery to actually speak up. That's shocking to me, because I know and I've seen how silencing the shame can be, and so for people to actually speak up and say to those people that have power and privilege that this is what's happened to me. I think that – so there's the church too, me too. It's really scary to see the reports, not just in general culture, but in the church as well, some of the stories that are coming out. So generally, I think it's really good. But like all good things in a fallen world, they can be distorted. And so seeing the politicization of such an important thing of men and women. I mean, again, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men. This is not just a women's movement, and it's not just a women's issue. Men are mostly the perpetrators, but men are also almost half of the victims. And so this is not just a women's thing. So I think mostly it's a good thing because it brings awareness to the issue. This is, you know, my wife and I, Lindsay, wrote this book over 10 years ago, and every time an issue comes up, I mean, we're grateful that we get to be one of the voices in the mix. Mm-hmm. But we've been watching this issue and paying attention to this issue for over 15 years, and I've never seen a time when there's been so much disclosure and conversation about this issue. So I'm hopeful that a lot of the awareness is actually helpful for those that have suffered. But I can guarantee you the past week has been very rough for our country and for everyone. It's been extremely rough for those that have suffered sexual abuse. I can guarantee you that Dr. Ford's telling of her story triggered a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to it last. I got home from a flight. I listened to the testimony, and just listening to the description of what she said triggered me. It reminded me of what happened to me. So there are millions of people today and this week that relived really, really painful and probably one of the most painful moments or many moments in their life because it's been brought up again on such a public forum.
Mm-hmm. So, Justin, is the church leading the way, or are they playing catch-up right now on this subject?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
The church is behind. What you started seeing with the Me Too movement is people saying, you know what, you know, we're tired of the people in power getting away with this. And the church is one of the places, unfortunately, where those who are in power get the benefit of the doubt more than any other place when it comes to this. And so we've heard some stories in the news of pastors who have done some horrible things either before the ordained ministry or even during it. And because pastors play such a significant role in people's lives, people want to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pastors are the ones who are preaching them the word of God. Pastors are there when people die and when they're born and when they get married. I mean, pastors can be one of the most important people in your life, and they're there at all of the key moments, let alone just every week, faithfully feeding God's church. So pastors have – people are drawn to protecting their pastors. And so when something comes out about a pastor or a beloved leader in the church, people don't want to believe what happened. And so what you see is the church ends up too often being an institution that protects itself as an institution and not those that have been harmed by it. So on one hand, the church is a little bit behind. On the other hand, the church has been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so because of that, we have the best news to say to those that are suffering, Christians or non-Christians. And because of the overwhelming good news, I mean, that's what the gospel is good news. Well, the good news is that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, not only are your sins forgiven, and you didn't sin if you were a victim of sexual abuse, but the cross and resurrection is not just that your sins are forgiven, but that Jesus is making all things new. There's hope for the future, and there's healing for right now. It's not just the forgiveness of our sins. It's the healing of the wounds that we experience now. There will be a time in heaven when all of the wounds and all of the pain, he will wipe away every single tear. But God is so good, and he sent the Holy Spirit to make inbreaking of the future into right now. The hope that we have in the future that all will be well, some of that seeps into right now. And sometimes before heaven, we experience the emotional, physical, psychological, and spiritual healing that we are allowed to enjoy because of what Jesus did. So on that sense, we're leading the way. And one of the most clear ways that people have come to understand Jesus for who he is and what he's done clearly is actually through their experience of sexual abuse and then hearing the good news. I mean, so we wrote our book both just for general hope and healing
mm-hmm.
for those that have suffered. But if God would use it to evangelize people, all the better. What a powerful thing that God would do to bend what Satan uses for evil and to find a way to bend that through his creativity and sovereignty into good for those that come to him.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Justin Holcomb, and he's written a book called Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault, if you just joined me. Justin, because I got several letters this week from women that said, it was very difficult to hear you talk about this because what I heard this week on the news was exactly a little bit what happened to me. And I didn't hear anything in addition to it. But is there a path that they could be on? Is there a step they could first take? Is there the next logical thing to do to try to get removed from some of this pain?
Yeah, great question.
Well, I stumbled to get it out. So,
because you know you're walking in a terrain where there's lots of pain, and I wouldn't be surprised if you were overwhelmed with the responses that you've gotten and people just saying, you know, this is really painful. what happens is most people haven't told anyone. Most people have suffered this. It's not part of their regular conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things that we've encouraged people to do is to think of someone in your life that you know and that you trust. That could be a friend, it could be a family member, pastor, small group, participant, or neighbor. Whoever, when I ask, who do you trust? Whoever comes to mind, pray about and think through, is that someone I can actually trust to tell this story to? And then intentionally get some time with them and give them a piece of your story. Most of these stories come out, they'll tell part of the story, and then depending on how the person responds, they might shut down, change the conversation, or they might tell more. So one of the things is to acknowledge telling someone else does two things. One is you are saying out loud. You're acknowledging that what happened to you, and it was horrible, and it was a sin and a crime. So telling someone else, there's something powerful about the acknowledgement of you acknowledging and saying out loud to someone else what happened. Two is that other person can share the burden with you a little bit. I mean, as best they can. And they might be clunky in how they respond. Hopefully they won't hyper-spiritualize everything and give you some platitude like, time heals all wounds or something goofy. But they can carry the burden with you. They can pray with you. They can also be a mouthpiece to you about the truth of who you are, because you're in Jesus. If you're in Jesus, you're an adopted child of God. You've been washed clean. You've been robed with the righteousness of Christ, and you've been adopted into God's family. And so hearing over and over again from your pastor, from the scriptures, and from your friends who you are, and applying the good news of Jesus Christ to that story is something that needs to happen on a regular basis. So the first thing is to see if you can find someone that you trust. And then if it's useful for you, if there's a resource, there's Rid of My Disgrace, our book, there's Wounded Heart, there's other books like ours that are Christian books addressing this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time reflecting on it. Go slowly. You don't need to rip off the Band-Aid and get to the healing really quickly. Take your time with it, but trust other people and start connecting the story of what happened to you, the disgrace of the story of what happened to you, to the grace of the gospel story of Jesus Christ. He really rose from the dead, he really died, and he really went to heaven to make all things new.
Mm.
And connect those stories, because that story of suffering and disgrace doesn't need to be isolated from the story of good news. It needs to be included to and connected to it, and find ways to connect those two stories, not keep them separated.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I would love to figure out a way to get you and Lindsay on the program together. If you can work that out, that'd be great.
Anytime. We happily.
Okay.
And we tried to do it this time. It's our daughter's 8th birthday today.
Oh.
And so we just couldn't both do it.
I get it.
There's dinner plans and balloons being made and presents being wrapped.
Yeah.
But we joyfully do it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend and happy birthday to your daughter. Justin Holcomb has been my guest. His book, Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault. We'll be right back.
Failing can be educational, too. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Across the country, college counseling services are overwhelmed. As Peter Gray writes at Psychology Today, students increasingly seek help for and apparently are having emotional crisis over problems of everyday life, especially coping with failure. Many interpret a B or a C on a test as the end of the world. Instead of working harder, they just complain about the professor or the course, writing poor reviews, sometimes filing lawsuits. Many professors say they're bewildered and helpless as they encounter these young people who just a few short years ago were expected to act like, adults. In college, Gray cites helicopter parenting as a major factor, parents being the ultimate fixers for their kids whenever they hit the smallest bump in the road. Well, this doesn't prepare them for life. Kids should be allowed to fail. We can support and guide them. But since failure is inevitable this side of heaven, we might as well prepare them for how to handle failure. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
Am I the only one that loves the Beatles? You like the Beatles, don't you, Rebecca?
Could you tell by the way I was bobbing my head?
Yeah, you're bobbing your head, so that was good. So it is Answered Prayer Friday, and that means I need people to call in and let me know what happened in your life, how God answered a prayer. 877-933-2484. I can't tell you how much it builds up the body of Christ when you hear great stories of answered prayer. And doesn't matter what it did, what God did in your life, we just want to hear about it and give God the glory. 877-933-2484. A couple of things that I've been pretty grateful for. My nephew, Michael, and his wife, Kelly, had their baby this week, and they're, you know, they had some issues, and now all of a sudden they got a healthy baby girl named Hannah Mae, and she was, I think, 9 pounds, something like 9 pounds, 8 ounces. So she was a big girl, and I thought, that is so in keeping with her parents, because my nephew is 6'5", and his wife is 6'5", so that could be a tall girl. So I'm very, very grateful that it was an answer to a prayer. I know my whole family is jumping for joy that God answered that prayer in such a fantastic, beautiful way to have a healthy baby.
That's one of the best answered prayers ever.
I love that prayer. Yeah.
I love that. I will say, though, I'm disappointed you didn't bring baby pictures with you. So I was hoping on my phone. But
yeah.
You're holding out on us, Bill.
No, I got them. I got them. I'll show them to you. I got a whole bunch of them, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
You want to see them, I got time.
Let's open up that envelope a little bit later.
We want to hear from you. You can either call me at 877-933-2484 or text me at 877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. I'll tell you, one of the prayers I've had this week, given that it's been a difficult week with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and all the difficult news we hear about sexual assault and all the sensitivity around that subject and the response I've received this week from several listeners, that it reminds me that there are so many people in that situation. And I was praying that I would have a voice this week, someone that could speak truth in a lovely way to this topic. And then, boom, up pops Justin Holcomb and was able to come on the show. I thought he spoke beautifully to a very difficult week regarding sexual assault.
Well, I so appreciate his focus and the fact that he's willing to be open about his experience too, which is an incredibly painful thing to have to do, but it gives him a special level of insight, understanding, sensitivity with this, and having worked in this area of ministry for so long. I mean, that really was like a balm, I think, after hearing all the chaotic, you know, news of conflicting reports and hard stories, that you really just need to be able to focus on the healing power of Christ and trust that is, it's not just for someday salvation. It's not just for the hereafter. It's for the here and now as mm-hmm. well. And that's what we need to do basically is unite around the cross instead of pointing fingers at each other or seeing who can feel bad or where the pain is, to look for the solution to that pain, and that mm-hmm. comes from Jesus.
And Rebecca, speaking of babies,
yes,
your prayers are being answered every day.
Yes, well, and that's exciting for me too, that I am expecting a little one, and this is the first time for me, so lots of nerves about, I'm sure some of the ladies out there can attest, or some of the first-time fathers
sure,
that have felt those jitters.
Sure they can.
And so there have been some doctor's visits that have not gone the way that we had hoped. And mm-hmm. so there were some complications and some crazy reports. And so it's rejecting the fear of what could happen or the worst case scenario and saying, okay, doctors, I thank you for your wisdom and thank you for your treatment. But I'm trusting that God's going to carry us through. Mm-hmm. And so my answered prayer, and this is a process, is that everything seems to be going well.
Yeah.
And I thank God for his provision so far, and I'm trusting in his timing.
I love it. We've got a text message from our friend Paul Atkinson.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Good coverage of a very sensitive subject. Just want to encourage you and thank you for all you are doing for God's kingdom here on earth. That's awfully nice, isn't it?
I love it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
You don't have to say that, but we're glad you did.
Yeah. If you've got an answer to a prayer, let's hear it. 877-933-2484. And that is a phone number and a text line. If you just as soon not come on the program, but you'd like to share the good news of how a prayer was answered, we'd love to celebrate with you and give God all the glory. 877-933-2484 also works as a text line. So we'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Parenting teenagers can be extremely frustrating, but also extremely rewarding. Mark Gregston is author of the book Parenting Teens in a Confusing Culture, and he offers this advice for parents of teens.
More than anything else, what's important for a parent to communicate to their kids is, I want a relationship with you, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you less. It's a phrase that every child should embrace in this performance and appearance world. They need to know at their very core that they are loved, and there's nothing they can do, no sin, no difficulty, no struggle, no inappropriate behavior that will change my love for you. Now, there's consequences, and I think every family's got to line those out. But at some point, it's letting the child know in the absence of relationships in other parts of their life that you can find one with your good old mom and dad. And I think that becomes very important these days.
More from Mark Gregston is at myfaithradio.com.
Connecting faith to life, together, on Faith Radio.
I'm a mail carrier, so I get to listen to you guys all day. You guys are the ones that have helped me through my troubles, and I enjoy supporting you, and I'm glad I run across you guys.
Just a preset away on your car radio, Faith Radio.
Rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name and lift our voices.
Welcome back to the show. It is Answered Prayer Friday. We try to do this, I don't know, every two or three weeks. We just want to give our listeners a chance to call us and let us know how a prayer has been answered in your life. Maybe you've gotten some really good news and God has answered your prayer in a way that you just want to jump up and down and tell the world. Well, we want to hear it. And we'll celebrate with you and give him the glory. 877-933-2484. One of our regular guests that was on the morning show and still is quite regularly, Dr. Bruce Ashford. He let us know this week that there was a kind of an emergency prayer request. His wife was in a very serious medical condition, just sort of came out of the blue. And as you know, when you're in that situation, your whole world just sort of stops and there's no warning and you're racing your loved one or getting your loved one raced to the hospital for possibly emergency brain surgery and you're pretty panicked. And so we just started praying like crazy. And I must have prayed 15 times in one day for Bruce and Lauren. And I thought, Lord, please come down and rain mercy on this situation and bring healing. And over the course of about 3 days, Bruce said, hey, just as an update, things are really looking good. The one thing that we were fearing the most just did not come to fruition. And we're just awfully relieved that the worst didn't happen and things are looking pretty good. So that was another chunk of answered prayer that God chose to answer that prayer in a way just exactly like we asked. So that's really been really nice. I think we got a caller on the line. I think Cheryl is calling in from St. Paul. Hello, Cheryl. You got an answer prayer you want to share with us? I hope. Is she there? Let's try again. Hello, Cheryl. Are you there? No, I guess not. Well, she's got an answer to a prayer. If you have one, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Or you can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'd love to hear from you because we love to celebrate answered prayer. And I know you've...
Can you hear me?
Oh, no. Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
Good. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there.
It's A-OK.
But I was calling about a healing that I received. I woke up June 25th. With a pinched nerve in my neck that went down my left arm all the way. And it was very excruciating pain. I just woke up and it was there. And immediately I went into the doctor and got on prednisone and then had to go through physical therapy and seeing a chiropractor like 2 to 3 times a week for all of like June 25th through the end of August before I started to receive any relief. And I just want to thank the Lord for that healing, because I did go up for prayer about it. And it was just debilitating. I mean, a pinched nerve was just excruciating pain. And I was able to continue to go to work, but it was difficult. And I just want to thank the Lord for his healing power and his healing hand, and by the stripes that we're healed. And I'm just very grateful to him.
You know, Cheryl, I love hearing this, because you've been battling this, and you're kind of, your world shuts down a little bit, doesn't it, when you're in that much pain and discomfort?
Oh, yeah. Life takes on a whole new perspective. And it makes you really grateful for just the little things that we can do within the constraints of pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes your eyes look to Jesus, who really suffered on the cross. And then when my friend was dying this last summer from cancer, my next door neighbor, and he called me for prayer, and we were praying on the phone. I was on my way home from work, and I just remember, you know, telling him to surrender all of his suffering to the Lord. Give it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Continually to lift. Give it all to Jesus. And, you know, he did pass away then that Saturday of that week. And I had given him a cross that was made by this gentleman down in Lanesboro, Minnesota at the Watermelon Festival. And he had all these crosses that were made out of cedar, and everyone was unique and different. And it was a free will offering. He was an ex-veteran. And, you know, and I gave him, the Lord like told me to give my neighbor this cross. It was like, it was just really unique. It was three crosses, like on this wood, piece of wood, cedar wood. And Scott told me that those crosses really, you know, was able to like look to Christ on the cross, who suffered for us, and that through our suffering, you know, he suffered more than any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that God always said, you know, that cross was really special to him.
Yeah, Cheryl, thanks for making my day. That's just such good news. I love hearing your story.
Well, thank you, Bill, for all you do. You encourage us, and I'm so grateful for KTIS. It's a lifeline.
Me too. Thanks, Cheryl. Have a great weekend.
God bless.
God bless you. I've got another caller, actually just to the text line, and this dear person said, I'm honestly going through many very difficult things in my life, and don't we hear that all the time?
We can understand that.
Yep, and he specifically said there's some personal issues, marriage, family, and finances. So that's kind of the trifecta there, although that's four. But in all this, he said, my son and his wife were blessed with a birth of their first child, a beautiful boy. They could not be more excited. God, thank you and bless you. And he just would like to remain anonymous. But just a reminder that there's so many people suffering in very difficult situations today, whether it's personally or professionally or maybe both. Your marriage is in trouble. You've got stress in your life. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety that you've never had before. Where'd this come from? And all of a sudden, you're maybe not sleeping as good as you want to, and you're just out of a routine of life. Maybe there's just enough of that going on, and you wonder where God is in all this. Trust me, he's right alongside you, just so you know. And so if anyone else wants to call, we'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We'll take a very short break, and when we come back, I'd love to hear some more stories. Thanks for calling, and Cheryl, thanks for that great call. And this another person that texted in. We'd love to hear more. 877-933-2484. Hello and welcome back. It's 11 minutes till the top of the hour, and you have you are at Answer Prayer Friday. That's what we're doing today. We've got a couple of callers on the line that want to talk about how God has answered a prayer. Darlene is calling in from Minnetonka. Hello, Darlene.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Anyway, answer to prayer. Well, this is kind of a little bit emotional thing, but anyway, I have prayed for my husband for about 20 years for him to reconcile with his mother and forgive her, you know, for childhood stuff. And that happened in August. And there's many times throughout the years where, you know, I just wanted to give up on it. But I am so glad, you know, his timing, of course, is completely different than ours most of the time. And but he finally answered that prayer.
Oh, that is so beautiful. You're choking us up, too, just so you know.
I'm sorry.
Isn't there something just so beautiful about reconciliation?
Oh, it's just, it is so wonderful. And that burden, you know, that was kind of on me, too, you know, through the years, has been lifted. And, you know, I can just see that he is feeling so much better just about life in general.
Mm-hmm.
That each person, you know, goes through their own thing and, you know, and struggles with different things like that. And it can happen. That's just what I want to put out there is don't give up.
No, I agree. Be persistent, even when it doesn't feel like things are going as well as you'd like. God's got this, right?
That's absolutely true. Although at times you feel like, you know, well, hey, I guess this isn't going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it does, and it will. And so just want to encourage people to not give up, especially praying for loved ones that are hurting, and because God will come through.
Yeah. Darlene, thank you so much for calling. I don't have any cash or prizes for you, but I'm so glad you called.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, I know. I could send you a home version of the Afternoons with Bill Arnold show, but we haven't created one yet.
I'm totally kidding. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. You're embarrassing me. Continue.
And, I really do enjoy your show and all the people you have on.
Terrific.
Very interesting. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Darlene. See you later.
All righty.
Thanks. We got another caller, Joan's calling in from Coon Rapids. Hey, Joan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing awesome.
Good, good. You got some good news for me, huh?
Oh, I got some great news.
Good. Bring it on.
Yeah, it's funny that last caller was just talking about continuing praying for loved ones. And I got saved like 34 years ago and was praying for my sister. We lived in another state at the time, and she moved out there and got a divorce and went through some hard times and just was praying and praying. And, you know, when you first get saved, you get a little crazy and a little aggressive and probably turned her off to Jesus a little bit, but mm-hmm. kept praying for her and just, you know, over the years and just not gave up, but haven't prayed probably in a while as much as I used to do. And just, you know, we keep in contact and she lives out of state, so I see her like once a year. And, you know, she just was here recently for a reunion and just, she seemed a little different, was kind of saying she was going to church, but I didn't want to attack her or anything. So I was really nervous because she's a little more opposite of me. And so anyway, the other, like last week, I just was missing her. I just shot her a text, said, hey, I'm thinking of you, miss you. And she called me back and she goes, Joan, she goes, I want you to come and visit me because I'm going to get water baptized. I gave my life to the Lord. And I'm just like sitting there going, is this really happening? I was just like so excited. So it's like, and she's like 4 years older than me. It's my only sister. And it's just like,
oh my goodness. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, God's faithful, even though I haven't been praying, it's not about me praying for, but it's like, Lord, I never thought that would happen. I'm just going out and she wants me to come out there and be with her and hallelujah.
You go, girl.
It's like, awesome. That's a praise report.
Oh, that's fantastic, Joan. Thank you so much for that. That just makes me very happy, and our listeners too.
Amen.
Thank
you, Bill. You're the bomb.
Ah, thanks. Thanks. All right. Diane is calling in from Maple Grove. Hello, Diane. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Good.
Do you have a report?
I'm creeping along in rush hour traffic.
Okay, good.
Yes, I want to tell you that I'm very thankful for God's answer to my prayers and many other people for my dad. He had an ankle reconstruction in April and suffered through a bad open wound in his foot and infection in his bone and a heel sore. And then the surgery failed after 2 months of going through that. And then he had it undone and redone. And we just kept praying that God would give him complete healing. And after 4.5 months, he was able to go home. He's been home almost 3 weeks now. And he's 87.
Wow.
And he just had a doctor appointment on Monday. And the doctor said, I am so impressed by your surgery, recovery, and all the do this, do that he's told to do. He's just so determined, and he's recovering really well. And they said this infection's gone, and he's walking again.
Well, so, we got to get him out on the dance floor. I think that's next.
Well, my dad would be the one to do it.
That's fantastic.
He is just a wonderful, giving, loving man. He's always served others his whole life. He was in the Korean War, and he was in a very difficult part of the battle there on Outpost Harry,
mm-hmm.
where many of the people died. He was one of 11 that survived,
mm-hmm.
And had a Purple Heart.
Yeah.
And he's served others his whole life. He's been a wonderful example to
mm-hmm.
us.
And the one thing I know for sure, Diane, about your dad is that he has a daughter that loves him.
I love him very much.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
I really do. You're so welcome. Thanks for having this on here. And I listen to this. I listen every day.
Oh, terrific. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I got another anonymous, it wasn't anonymous, gentleman named Jay said, 13 years ago, I surrendered and asked God, could I please not go to the liquor store tomorrow? The following morning, I knew that the compulsion to drink had been removed. I've prayed the same prayer every day since, and I thank God for his grace. I love it. Thank you very much for sharing that with me, Jay. I think we got time for one more. We just got a minute left. It is Genevieve from Walker. Hello, Genevieve. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today, Bill?
I'm wonderful. We just got about a minute.
I'll talk really fast. So I love the power of prayer. I've known many people who have come to Christ just by people praying and being faithful and diligent and following through, even if you're not seeing growth or seeking or anything in the person. But my three examples, I prayed for one of my sisters for 8 years for her to come to Christ, and it was similar to what someone else said. She called me and said she was going to get baptized. So I was like, wow. And then the second person was my husband at the time. He was an unbeliever. We ended up getting a divorce, continued to pray. So 10 years later, he came to Christ. And then a really good friend who lived out of state prayed for him for 15 years, and he came to Christ.
Mm.
So I don't encourage people to have to pray that long for someone, but sometimes it takes someone.
I'll tell you one thing. If I need prayer, I'm coming to you.
Sounds good. I'll put you on my list. Actually, you are on my list, but not for
salvation. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much, everyone who called and said, I've got an answer to a prayer I want to talk about and share with the listeners. And thank you so much for just loving on me today. That was really nice. I hope you had a great week, and I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you supporting Faith Radio. As you know, we don't take you for granted at all. This show is about you. It's about him, but it's also about you. So thanks very much. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.